who's there?
Ebenezer.
Who says it?
From behind rises the ghost of Christmas Past.
We're at a rehearsal for the Kansas City Repertory Theater's production of A Christmas Carol.
Ah! 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 Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
Actor Gary Neil Johnson should know his lines. He's been playing Scrooge for the past 13 years.
Oh, no.
I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on Central Standard, I'm going to be kind of like the ghost of Christmas Past, walking Gary Neil Johnson through his 32-year history with the play. Gary Neil Johnson, welcome to Central Standard.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Do you remember the first time you saw A Christmas Carol performed?
I do. It was in 1981. It was the first time the Missouri rep at the time did the show. And I was doing something else at the time, but got to see it one night. And it's quite vivid in my mind. It was a very different show then than it is now.
What is vivid about it in your mind?
It was a spectacle in a different way that the show is a spectacle now, because it certainly is still quite a spectacle. It was kind of an anything goes. I'm not sure. I'm sure they didn't know at the time that this was going to become a standard every year Christmas fair. And I think they were having, it was quite whimsical, and the actors and the director had great fun at every opportunity. And to the detriment of the show, it wasn't a real sincere telling of Christmas Carol. And over the years, this has certainly become a sincere and amusing and entertaining, but sincere telling of the story.
It's probably hard for an actor to watch a play without thinking about its mechanics and its performance and the delivery and things like that, and to just experience a play as an audience member. But do you remember how the play affected you as an audience member?
Well, the only time I've seen it,
right?
The only time
I've
seen
it,
I wasn't very affected by it, and that's also what I remember vividly is leaving the show and not having been terribly affected by it. But as I said, those days are hopefully long gone. I haven't seen it for 33 years, so I don't know. But judging from the repeat patrons that we get and the comments that I get and the people who want to talk about it in the produce section of the grocery store with me, I think we're doing fine.
So what you play Ebenezer Scrooge now, but what other characters have you played?
Oh, gosh. My first year, which was in 1982, I played. In fact, I'm the only actor who's been hired to play a character called Old Joe, who has a rather significant scene in the second act, and a character called Young Gentleman. In fact, I was second Young Gentleman. That was my first year. Second year, they asked me to play the ghost of Jacob Marley and Old Joe, and I did that for 3 years. And then in 1986... I started playing the narrator, who we call Charles Dickens. And we give the narrator a name because in the beginning of the original script, there was a whole scene with the Charles Dickens family in which the kids were nagging him and he was trying to finish this story called A Christmas Carol.
You know what? I think I remember that.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah.
They trotted it out. They did it many times in the first, say, 10 years, and then they just dropped the family section. So anyway, I did the narrator for 14 years. And then in 2000, I took over Ebenezer Scrooge.
You know this play so well then, and most people have some familiarity with the story, but I'd hate to leave anyone out. So just in case, if you had to summarize A Christmas Carol in a few sentences, what would your synopsis be?
Oh, boy, I've never been asked to do that before. a man named Ebenezer Scrooge grows up, takes the normal knocks through life and reacts to them badly, and creates in himself a man who has lost the ability to love or be loved. And his former business partner, now dead, comes back as a ghost, Jacob Marley, and warns him that he's going to be visited by ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. And they're going to take him through his life so that Ebenezer Scrooge doesn't end up in the same kind of perdition or hell that Jacob Marley has ended up in.
One of my favorite Scrooge lines is actually when Jacob Marley tells him he's going to be visited by these ghosts, and he says, this is so funny to me. I'd rather not.
I'd rather not. I think I'd rather not. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, wouldn't you? I think that would be anybody's reaction when told that three ghosts are going to come see you. If I've got a choice, let's not.
How did you think about the character of Scrooge before that was your part? He's the character who's on stage for the entire duration of the play. So in addition to being the character who goes through a transformation in the course of the play, his presence, even when he's not saying anything, gives weight to every scene.
It was important to me the first time I did the role that I make this my Scrooge be a Scrooge that saw and responded to absolutely everything. Now, by responded, I don't mean I waved my arms or opened my eyes, but had a real reaction to everything. I had seen there had been Scrooges over the year that took a more passive role, and this is with the direction of a director, would stand on the sidelines and just watch as their much beloved sister came back to life and was standing before them, or when he sees himself as a little boy, or sees himself at any point in his life that where the Christmas past and present have taken him. It was important to me that he take an active part in this, and our Scrooge, my Scrooge, our Scrooge, certainly does that. He puts himself in the middle of things when his sister walks on stage. This is an important moment to me, as when I see my sister again, who much beloved and who died young, that's. That's what I wanted Scrooge to be.
Scrooge has some classic lines, and of course the obvious one is "Bah humbug." Did you test out lots of ways of saying those words "Bah humbug" before settling on your delivery?
In front of a mirror. No. Yes, I did, and no, not in front of a mirror. Yes is the answer to that question.
So can you tell me some of the variations of Bah Humbug and why you rejected some and moved toward another?
Well, there is the just straight Bah Humbug, which I thought, well, let's give that a little more thought. Let it be two thoughts. He says it in response to something that his nephew has just said to him, and his first response is "bah," or just "pah," humbug, and versions of that is what we've stuck with, just a dismissive "pah." Humbug.
I think that I sound totally ridiculous when I try to say "bah humbug." Could you coach me?
Well. Yeah. First, don't think of it as letters. Don't think of it as B-A-H. Just think of it as a sound of dismissiveness. Just a pew.
Okay, so that, yeah, because...
And don't worry about the B, just whatever comes out.
Yeah, because the problem with ba is that you could go sheepish with it, you know, like ba.
Oh, well, oh, that kind of sheepish. Right.
Okay, so just think of the first thing as a sound and not a word.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to come out. Well, yeah, don't worry about what it's going to come out, but just something that, you know, pish, tosh, you know, I mean, just something.
Okay, so say something to me that I would say it back to.
I hate it when it snows on my birthday.
Bah, humbug. No, that was terrible. I'm glad you're playing Scrooge and not me.
Well, it was a terrible question.
Well, anyway, I think we're all glad that you're... Because it's a simple... It sounds like a simple line and we've all become accustomed to it, but I actually think the delivery of that line as the classic Scrooge line, it's two words that you can sound totally ridiculous saying if a person, say, is not you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. And you're right. It was important that I did give it importance. And I hope what I've come up with. I hear responses every night when I say it, because it's the classic sound from Ebenezer Scrooge. Bah humbug.
In addition to, he also has these really intense lines where he says really, I mean, over-the-top, cruel kinds of stuff to, like, his clerk and to people who are asking for donations to charity. And then there's his very dramatic response when he realizes the fault of his ways. But there are also subtler lines that I feel like could easily get lost in the mix. Do you have a favorite Scrooge line, but something that people who don't live inside the script the way that you do might not pay attention to?
I probably do. But it's not something that I think about, except this happens to me a lot, except when I'm actually saying it on stage. I couldn't tell you right now. I couldn't tell you right now what it would be. But it is fun. It's fun to say, well, if they would rather die, they had better do it and decrease the surplus population. You know, it's fun to be that guy. It's fun to be Ebenezer Scrooge and just be as cranky and acrimonious as he is and work my way through it. It's a great journey I get to take every night. I'm a lucky guy.
Can I share a line that is compelling to me? It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. You would deliver it much better, as we've already explored. But the reason that is interesting to me is because in the context of someone who says things like, if they'd rather die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population, those things are so caricaturish in a way of a cruel person and of a miserly businessman. But this phrase, it's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. That sounds like something that an ordinary American in 2014 might say in response to being asked to extend himself or herself in some way.
Doesn't it? Yeah.
And that makes you realize when he says something that you could actually imagine yourself or someone you know saying, that this character is just an extension of that nugget of a thought. Can you maybe talk about where Scrooge becomes real to you?
Scrooge is always real to me. As far as the dividing line, I don't think there is one. No, Scrooge to me, and it's important to me that Scrooge be a real guy. Now he's extreme. He's so very extreme, but still quite real. So when he says something like that, as long as it's coming, as long as it's honest, and he believes it, it's real, and it's easy for me to play without seeming too characterish.
Which I agree with. I've seen you play this role several times, so I'll validate that statement.
Oh, well, thanks. Thank you.
There are lots of very good plays or movies, for that matter, that you'd be hard-pressed to watch year after year. Most things become grating with overexposure. What do you think it is about this play or the Rep's production of it that allows people to watch it again and again and still feel that punch in the gut?
This play has an element of it's a ghost story. It's frankly a ghost story and it's a Christmas story, and we watch a man change drastically and it's a happy ending, and so there's that. What is about the Rep's production? I couldn't tell you. I haven't seen it since 1981, so I don't know, but it's such a classic story. Tiny Tim, Bob Cratchit, Ghost of Jacob Marley. Gosh, you know, it's just got everything, and it's part of our fabric.
Revisiting some friends. Well, Central Standard is going to take a quick break. When we return, we'll take your calls. Dial 816-235-2888 to tell us about your favorite moments in A Christmas Carol and what they mean to you. I'm Gina Kaufman. Don't go away. And we're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This morning's guest on Central Standard is Gary Neil Johnson. He plays Scrooge in A Christmas Carol at the Kansas City Repertory Theater. Join the conversation about meaning Christmas Carol moments at 816-235-2888. Later in today's show, we'll visit with singer Lauren Crum of The Grizzly Hand. Be sure to stick around for that. Gary Neil Johnson, hello again.
Hello.
I like it. Your Scrooge voice is coming out a little bit more as we continue.
I woke up with it this morning. I don't always, but it was there.
Can can we talk about stage directions? Because in the book A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, descriptions of Ebenezer Scrooge often say things like, he cast his eyes to the ground. In theater, if someone's in the back row, they can't see little eye movements. But the subtlety of those descriptions is part of the character in that moment. So how do you deal with that? If you're like throwing yourself to the ground, that changes how people read that character.
Interesting you should bring up the casting his eyes to the ground, because I make it a point, without trying to look like I'm making a point, of not looking anybody in the eye in the early going of the play.
Wow. Talk to me about that some more, that decision.
I think that's the part of Ebenezer Scrooge, is he doesn't engage with humanity, and it even to that extent. Now, he's just a fellow that will look at your elbow or your knee or your shoes as he's saying something terribly mean to you, that was important. In fact, I'm fascinated. I don't know that I had knew that passage, but I'm glad it's there.
Well, people of all ages come to see this play. Busloads of school children pile into the theater. I know that because I was once one of them. So there are some really heavy scenes. What is your sense of how kids handle some of the scarier moments?
Well, that's remarkable because, this has been set up to be as scary as possible within reason. And it's delightful to hear 600 kids screaming when Jacob Marley appears, or when the Phantom appears, or when any number of other things appear. And that's the reaction we're going for. We don't always get that same vocal reaction from adults, though they, I think if the kids are feeling it, the adults are too. They're just not screaming. And that's just wonderful. And then they always will get that out of their system and settle back down and listen to the story. The children's audiences are just wonderful.
So, but it is your sense that it's supposed to scare you into making Scrooge's transformation yourself, like that you should leave the theater and give alms?
No. I don't think the intention is to actually scare you into anything. The fright is there for fun. Now the only one, Jacob Marley the ghost is the only one that actually presents Scrooge with the consequences of if you don't take heed and listen to these ghosts. This is what your life. See these chains? You ask about these chains that I'm fettered with. This is the life you have if I don't. So that's the only ghost who.
He's super scary.
Good. it feels super scary. Super scary to me. But he's the only one that states the potential hopeful outcome of this. Who might want to scare us into giving up whatever you're doing and giving alms.
So is this your 14th year as Scrooge?
This is my 14th year as Scrooge.
How do you play the part differently than you did 14 years ago?
I throw myself to the floor more gingerly and I get up more slowly. There's one thing I can tell you for sure.
Interesting.
That's just that I'm 14 years older than I was when I started.
Oh, I gotcha.
This. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's not a choice. In fact, if only I could. And my take on the role is essentially the same as it was then, because we carved back in 2000. We carved a thread that really worked for me and for the play and a storyline and how everything ties together, and that's I still do that essential thread. Other directors have come in and have made tweaks and changes here, and I have to tweak and change my thread, and I always resent it a little bit. I want to say, you don't understand. I need to think this because I see that. And other than the fact that I've just grown older and more introspective, I would suspect that maybe Scrooge has too. I don't know.
Natural, gradual changes.
Oh, Perhaps, yeah. I don't get to watch it, and I haven't tracked it. There are videos going back 14 years. I could go back and watch it, but I don't.
Why don't you?
Well, time. I don't know. It actually sounds like a good idea to me, but I've just never taken the time to go to the archives and pull out me 14 years ago to watch the show.
Well, in your regular life, when you're Gary and not Ebenezer, do you find yourself seeing things through the lens of A Christmas Carol? Has the play seeped into the rest of your existence in any way?
I don't know. That's a good question. Because I've been doing this for, this is my 31st year doing the production, and my 14th is Scrooge. I know that doesn't bear repeating. And I'm not surprised by much. If I did, and perhaps I did once upon a time, I'm not aware of it anymore. And that's really all I think I can intelligently say about that. If I do, I'm not aware of it.
How many shows do you do in a single season?
50, give or take one or two. Sometimes it's a little less. Sometimes it's 50. I think 54 is the most we've done in a season.
And how do you keep it fresh from one evening to the next?
Well, first of all, that's what we do. That's what stage actors do is repeat a performance over and over and over again. Coming in the night after is not connected to what you did the night before. It's a new audience, and whether we have enough pride that we want to tell our story, because that's what we are, our storytellers. We want to tell this story the best way possible to this whole new group who haven't seen it, and we want them to leave feeling just as good as they possibly can. And so there's that. I don't have to do anything, and actors generally don't have to do anything to keep it fresh if they're the right kind of actor.
Tell me what that means, to be the right kind of actor.
I have worked with, and we all have worked with, people who, after they've done it 10 times, want to do funny things, want to act up, substitute words, work a particular word into the show, tulips, rosemary. Now, this, I will say, I haven't encountered this for years, but there are those actors who get bored and need to find some other way to entertain themselves. It's not about entertaining ourselves. It's about entertaining those people out there and telling a good story.
Gary Neil Johnson, have a great rest of your season. Oh. And bah, humbug. Can't do it still.
Very good. No, that was great.
A Christmas Carol runs through December 26th. Details are available at kcrep.org. When we return, Grizzly Hand singer Lauren Crumb will be joining us to talk about the album she's recording, and her country music alter ego, Lorna Kay, will play some gritty Christmas songs. Stay with us.